This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 136, sponsored by Jim Hanley's Universe, InStockTrades.com, and Netflix.
Girl, tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. Monday night is my night to cook. Tuesday night we go and visit your mother. But Wednesday, we make sweet weekly love.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. I'm Josh. I'm here with
Ron.
And
I'm Connor. How are you?
I'm good.
How does that feel? Feel good?
Feels good. iFanboy.com.
It's getting weird.
Is a website because we like we like comics. And we read them. Every week we read a bunch of them. And one of us will pick the best one and we just write about it.
I can't keep this up.
We just write about it on the website. And it's cool. Chill. We talk about it here on this podcast. And, you know, we just chill. And there's lots of other stuff we'll talk about, other books from the week. And that's how it works. Hey, listen, I don't want to ruin anything for you. So before...
I want it to feel good all the time.
Before we get to the show, it's a quick reminder, a bit of a warning, really. We're going to talk about the books from this week. So it's kind of a review show. So if you haven't read your books, I don't want you to get spoiled. Okay?
Is that really how you talk to girls on the phone?
Know. I haven't been a single guy for years.
Wow. It's already awkward.
This is me being creepy.
This is really creepy.
It's like creepy flirty.
Ugh.
Painful. I'm surprised you ever got laid before you got married.
Oh.
You're assuming I did. This week, Connor's got the pick.
I'm so uncomfortable, yet slightly aroused. I don't know how that works. Buffy the Vampire Slayer 15 was the pick of the week, which was a little bit of a shocker for me.
I don't think it was a shocker. I mean, this is a strong comic.
I think it's probably a shocker for anyone not reading it because they don't know how good it is.
It's a little comic book that could.
I'm not reading it. I've heard that it's pretty good.
It's amazing. Are we keeping you up?
A little bit. You know, they couldn't hear that. They didn't know I was yawning. You didn't have to...
You sounded a little weird.
You didn't have to point it off.
Well, it's a little comic book that could if it wasn't the biggest comic book of Dark Horse sells by far.
It is a sales leader for Dark Horse.
It is like the...
It's a major property.
Yes.
It was in the top 10 of all comic sales for a while. Now I think it slipped a bit to like the 12 to 15 range.
It shouldn't because it's gotten better.
It has gotten better. In a week where you had so many good books or big books like Trinity and Secret Invasion, Detective Comics and Spider-Man... I read Buffy like fourth or fifth into my stack, and I read it. And I was like, wow, that's going to really be hard to beat. Nothing's going to beat that for a couple of reasons. One, this is part four of the Wolves of the Gate storyline, which we've actually, Ron and I are reading this. We talked about this storyline, I think, 3 out of the 4 issues.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. It's been funny. This is the one that Dracula is in.
Poignant, touching, the emotional. The
racist Dracula?
Yes, yeah. The manservant. And this whole storyline has been a big battle between Buffy and her army of slayers and this army of enchanted vampires in Tokyo that are protected by a spell. And this is the final battle. And what I really thought was interesting about this issue as compared... I don't want to compare this to another book by dragging the other book down, but issue 2 of Secret Invasion had a really big fight in it. No, 2. I'm talking about the last
issue. Okay, because there's a
3. The same thing. 3.
He's not paying attention. He looked up and he was correct.
issue 2 had that big fight that I think some of us felt was a little bit boring.
Yeah.
This is how to do a big battle issue, but keep it interesting and poignant and funny. Yep. This issue runs the gamut between laugh out loud funny to like heartbreaking. It opens with a main character being killed, and that thread goes through the whole issue to the very last page, and it's. Yep. Heartbreaking. But then there's laugh out loud stuff with Dawn and the Mecha Dawn. They build a giant robot to fight Buffy's sister, who's a giant. Dawn, that was really
Mecha.
Funny.
The Mecha Dawn was very, very funny.
I laughed out loud at the Mecha Dawn.
I like blue jeans and irony.
Sometimes boys take advantage of my emotions or something.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, Drew Goddard is writing it, and we've said before he was a writer on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so he's part of the Joss Whedon army.
He knows these characters.
And
Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
There you go.
And it's hard because you're Josh and you're right here.
Yeah, but I'm nothing like him.
No, you're not.
I'm very unsuccessful.
Not nearly as good of a writer.
But I'm taller.
cry a lot.
He nails these characters and their back and forth in the banter. Yep. And it's like, and that's the thing that made Buffy, I think, the show so special and so good was that, you know, the characterizations.
Well, you've got these moments where there's like those great fist pumping moments you want in battles like this where somebody has a really badass moment. Dracula has most of those oddly enough. And then there's funny stuff from Dawn, there's funny stuff from Andrew telling Dawn how to fight a robot. She's like, "How do you know? Cuz I've been preparing my whole life for giant mecha robot battles." Exactly. And then there's the heartbreak stuff with Xander and his girlfriend being killed. Yeah.
Then there's the Buffy Willow conversation about what Buffy's doing with the Asian girl. And,
yeah.
I mean the whole thing, I mean it's amazing to see how much actual characterization is happening during such a huge epic battle.
I often let boys take advantage of my weak emotional states.
And that's not Connor reading from the comic book. He's just
that's just my confession to you,
yeah,
the listener.
Hangs out in bathhouses.
George Gentry's art.
Does that feel good?
George Gentry's art. Doesn't get enough credit in this book.
I'm glad that you made that point because I agree. I was a little iffy on it when it started, but you're right.
He's one of those rare artists that can take a licensed property and draw the characters to look enough like the actors where you don't lose the association, but enough where he's not just drawing stills from DVDs. Like a lot of those guys buy the DVDs and just steal the frames and just draw those as their panels.
Do they really? Is that true?
Yeah, you read interviews with them, they still it, and that's how they just copy that. Jeez. But
they've got the paper tape to the TV,
the really old school light box. But the art is really great for this title. He does emotion well, he does action well, and this is funny. It's exciting. It's poignant. This is like everything you want in a comic.
It's been a year plus of Buffy the Vampire Slayer in comics. I mean, this is issue 15 now,
and over a decade of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Period.
Well, yeah, no, but I remember a year ago when we were like, we didn't know what to make of it.
Well, in the very beginning, we were iffy on it.
And the thing is, there have been Buffy comics before, but the idea of this being season 8 and in continuity and the whole part of it is what kind
and
of
being run by the people who ran the show. That's
exactly,
the big thing.
Exactly.
Although the next month we're dealing with Frey, who had the comic. Yeah. I don't know anything about her.
I was flipping through the trade the other day in the store and I thought about it. I actually thought about it.
It's funny because I was thinking about looking back on the whole run with this and Josh is dying in the
Josh
corner.
Is totally dying.
I just don't care.
The best issues have been the ones that Josh hasn't written. Like the Brian K. Vaughan arc with Faith and this arc with Drew Goddard. He wrote every other one.
Well, I gotta say, between Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the Serenity comics, the last Serenity miniseries, all these people want more shows or more movies. F them. Just let's do comics. It's so much fun.
As I said in my review, Drew Goddard should just leave the TV and film world and all the money he makes from writing it and go write to stay in comics.
He's good.
He's a
good
really
guy.
Good comic
I
book
see,
writer.
But I want to see him write something else.
Well,
we'll give him at least $200 to kill the century.
The main thing is he got the structure down.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we knew he could write the characters, but can he write a comic? And and we've talked about this before. It's hard to jump into comics from other medium.
Definitely. Yeah.
And he it never felt draggy. Never felt overly worded. No, he got the structure. It all worked together.
Yeah. It's really good. I mean, it's just such a well done comic book. I love it.
And
I never thought I would love it. I never thought I was, you know, somewhat.
I didn't know. I had no idea what to
I
think.
I never thought you would love it either.
Right? Yeah. No. I know. I mean, that's why I think it's so surprising. I literally can't wait every month for this book, and it's come. It's been monthly, by the way. That's the other thing too. It's out like clockwork. If you look, that it's not. You know, there are no delays.
Which is funny with compared to Runaways with Joss's writing.
Well, yeah, but
Joss isn't writing this.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Exactly.
No, but he's written most of it. He's written 75% of it.
He's written every other arc.
Well, I guess he sees
much.
What side his bread is buttered on. Then
Trinity number one.
Are we done talking about?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, we're done.
All right. I thought,
do you have another point to make?
I can go at least 10 more minutes on this.
Let's just go ahead. We got a lot to talk about.
We could not though. That would also be, that would be fine.
Trinity number one, which is the third weekly book from DC. This is the one with stars Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, written by Kurt Busiek, art
the
by
Trinity,
Mark Bagley.
As they're termed.
Now, I find Kurt Busiek to be very fascinating to me. There's good Kurt Busiek and there's bad Kurt Busiek. Good Kurt Busiek gets you
Astro City,
gets you the Avengers with George Perez, gets you
Thunderbolts,
and it gets you stuff like Secret Identity. Like he does really good stuff. But then every once in a while there's bad Kurt Busiek where
Shock Rockets.
You get like his Superman run where he was just way too into like arcane magic and all this weird like fantasy elements that don't fit with Superman. And for me, there was both Kurt Busieks on display here. There was good Kurt Busiek and there was bad Kurt Busiek, and I really loved the first half.
Well, I mean, for those who don't know about, I mean, what Trinity number one is the weekly, and it's got two stories in it. It's got the main lead story by Busiek and Mark Bagley,
right.
The Drawn Machine. It's shorter though. It's like 16 pages.
Yeah, it's
right?
just half a book.
Yeah, and then the other half is written by Busiek and Fabian Nicieza, who picked up Thunderbolts after Busiek left. So there's your connection. And the art chores on that rotated. This one was Scott McDaniel. The next one will be Norton, but with Jerry Ordway inking. So it's going to be Ordway.
Mm-hmm.
Ordway overtakes when he inks.
Really?
Oh, totally.
I've never seen that phenomenon. I'm impressed that you recognized it.
Oh, no, absolutely. All right. He's known for that.
I don't know anything about comics.
What am I doing here?
I don't know.
So there are two stories, and I agree with you. The first story is the lead story, and it's way more engaging. It's almost like we have another the countdown to adventure scenario,
right.
Where it's like you've got one really good story, then one you're like, eh.
The plot to the main story is that Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman have all had the same dream, or a similar enough dream.
That sounded dismissive, but you said you liked it.
No, it was good. And then so they meet to talk about it, and they meet in Keystone City, and I thought he did a really good Flash.
Yeah, he did.
And the thing about music is
kids were in it, though.
Yeah, but they were all right.
They were.
He knows how to
They're not going anywhere, by the way, are they?
No, they're not. Uh-huh. He knows how to write these characters.
Send him to the future. Sorry, I don't want to get on the Flash.
He wrote JLA Avengers, which was really good. Yep. He knows these characters. I thought the characterizations were really great. And honestly, if this had been the whole issue, I probably would have rivaled Buffy as pick of the week. I was really into it for the first half, and the second half was too...
So you on board for the weekly?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Josh?
I didn't like this. It was okay. There's parts of it I liked. There was little things I liked, but I wasn't terribly interested in it. There was some pages in this that I really didn't like.
Yeah.
There were, like,
well, you
art-wise.
Hate Bagley, so.
No, I don't. That's
yeah, you
true.
Do.
You do.
I thought Bagley was awesome in this.
There's this page. There's this one full page thing with the Flash. It's a full page shot, and the Flash is just weirdly positioned. Like I can't.
I like this a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
But he doesn't look like he's running. He looks like he's sort of falling sideways.
He's dodging.
Yeah, he's sliding.
Page with the freaky kid, the proportions on that arm that's punching are really... And, like, I just noticed that. It's like, the kid's already.
I think the kid is off proportion.
The kid's out of proportion.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it was bad necessarily, but I didn't know.
That's how the kid looks in every other comic. He's got humongous arms.
No, I know. He's creepy. I don't like him.
He should go in the future.
I didn't love this. I liked parts of it. I mean, like... Connor had mentioned before, like he would be totally okay with just Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman sitting around talking all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's kind of fun. Okay,
playing Scrabble.
I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
He starts using Kryptonian words. I'm like, no.
Well, Batman knows a lot of words.
One thing I really liked with the art was you had Bruce Wayne sitting and being very over the top foppish because that's what he does in public, but then. When he switches to Batman mode, his face completely changes.
Mm-hmm.
It goes completely dark in the shadow. I thought it was a great shot of him into Batman mode.
Observation.
Why did they have this meeting in public? Do they have the
secret room in the Justice League?
They've got places to meet.
They've got the secret room, the starry room with the staircase.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have met there.
I think they wanted to talk to the Flash, and they can't get him to leave the kids.
Yeah.
Because he sucks.
Send them to the future. Yeah, no, I liked it. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to watch this from a weekly standpoint because, you know, whereas the past two attempts at weekly, you know, 52 and Countdown, haven't featured the big guns, as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now we have, you know, this is, you know, what should be what DC's best offering.
Right.
And I don't know if it can get over the awful logo, but
the logo
Chip
was bad.
Kid, jeez. Whew, normally he does well, but
the second
so
the second story, I thought was just too...
I didn't get the
it
second.
No, I was.
And that probably colored my opinion of the first half, which I was sort of lukewarm on. And then this, I was like, oh, it is like Countdown to Adventure again. And I'm like... Mm-hmm. Every week,
yeah.
This was like the obtuse nature of Busick's Superman run.
So you gonna stick with it, Josh? Or no?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. Okay. I will probably make that decision on an as needed basis.
Okay,
I'll probably buy the next one or two.
Fair
and
enough.
If I don't feel any better about it, then
fair enough.
You know, I could probably at some day if the Superman story turns out great, it's probably gonna be a trade.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
Eh.
What do you mean the Superman story?
The main lead story.
The A story. Yeah.
I thought you were.
So, Secret Invasion number 3.
Superman's on the cover. So.
Well, no, it's the first three are like they're a post.
Triptych.
Yeah, they go together.
Oh. Yeah. Triptych? That's what that means?
When you have three images that make into one big one, that's a triptych.
No shit.
It's an art term.
Wow. Who knew? So, see, very good.
I come from a family of artists.
His eyes darted left and right. He's like,
we're sitting under three or four paintings.
We know art.
All right, so Secret Invasion rolls on with Secret Invasion issue number 3.
I liked this issue.
I liked it a lot.
I had fun reading it.
Yeah.
Here's what I learned.
There are 20 people on the first page. There are a lot of
it's
characters.
It's like a Justice Society issue.
It
wasn't about the centuries, so sweet. this is not being written for issues. This issue had a bunch of moments and no... story arc
cohesive arc, yeah.
It didn't. It was just a bunch of little things, and it felt like I could not remember what happened in issue 2.
Yep.
And it felt like this was issue 2.
Should have been issue 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Issue 2 should have been a much shorter fight scene that took place in either 1 or 3, but the events in this book should have been last issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all that, I liked the scenes in it. I really, really liked the Tony Stark
Spider-Woman
scenes a lot. Yep. I thought that was great, and at the end of it I was like, come on,
let me
know.
So essentially what happens is that so, and I kind of read this before I did, and I asked him, I'm like, are they still in the Savage Land? And he's like, yes, but it's not just in the Savage Land. We start seeing like there's a battle on Times Square, so we see kind of what we saw in Captain Britain, that the invasion is happening. We saw what happened with the helicarrier crashing, which, by the way, Bendis made a joke.
Yeah.
That every time we turn around, this thing's crashing into the ground, so thank you.
Well, the problem is he's starting to become about referencing complaints that people are making on the internet.
He's not telling the story, he's talking
to the message boarders.
But also, and still doing it.
Yeah.
He was the one who made it crash. Yeah. Don't forget that.
Yeah, sure.
He wasn't left with that situation.
Yeah. So you see some effects happening, but then you see Spider-Woman take down Echo, and then go in to see Tony as Tony's trying to fix the thing.
Scroll Spider-Woman take down non-Scroll Echo.
Right, correct. So right. so we know that Spider-Woman has been a Skrull this whole time.
Right. Sure. From issue 1 of the
Avengers. And so she takes down non-Skrull Echo and then goes in to talk to Tony and then insinuates that Tony is in fact a Skrull.
Which he's totally not.
Which
a Skrull.
I don't think he is,
not
because
for one
the
second.
Close up on the eye, stay blue.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
But the idea was that he would be a sleeper Skrull. He doesn't even know what he is.
There's no way he's a Skrull.
I wish he was, though.
It would make
I really
so much
like
better.
I want that yeah. to be the case.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like this is heading into Civil War territory, and what I mean by that is Civil War, the mini itself, became very thin. After a while, you needed to read the extraneous books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what they claimed...
Where the real action is happening.
And they claimed that this wasn't going to be like that, but it's already feeling like that. For this issue, all the action happened. You got bits and pieces of, oh, here's one page of Nick Fury, here's a little bit of the new Young Avengers, here's a little bit of the Initiative.
Yeah.
And you feel like all the real stuff's going to happen
in
those books.
And you know that the Fantastic Four series is going to mean something. You know, believe it or not, I think the Young Avengers Runaways series is going to mean something. You know, but like, you know, it's tough.
At least Nick Fury looks like Nick Fury.
Yeah, that's finally. True.
Jeez,
and has a big gun.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, like a Rob Liefeld would go, that's a big gun.
A BFG.
Gun. Or a Sienkiewicz gun. Like in,
it's a good thing that he showed up with all these characters we don't know.
Exactly. That's the other thing. If you haven't read those issues, you wouldn't be like, who the F are these people?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, see, I
did read those issues, and I don't know who these
people
are.
But the thing is, that's the last page, and that's the cliffhanger. I would hope that the next issue would introduce them for someone who's not reading the Avengers
books. Is
that
Doctor Strange?
No.
No, it's
oh, he's got a goatee, not a mustache.
You know what I had a thought, though, while I was reading this, and when I saw the guy on the left in the red hood?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Is what happened to the hood?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, remember that? We're building up the hood, the major villain, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, they built him up so that the next time he shows up, he's more credible.
All right.
Yeah. He absconded into the night.
Okay.
He's
the guy in the back's got very high waisted pants.
Anyway, I would imagine it's Secret Invasion number 4.
Look at the pants; they're very high waisted.
Yeah, no, they're high waisted. I know. Yeah. I would imagine it's Secret Invasion number 4. They'll say, you know, new commandos, and then they'll, you know, point them all out. And I mean, you gotta assume that. So.
Yeah. But
we'll see.
If there was any complaint about this, it was fun to read, but there was no arc. It didn't feel like a story contained within an issue.
That's a very good observation.
I enjoyed it more than the other issues. I didn't have a major problem with it, but I think there's flaws that are starting to become apparent in it.
That is a good observation. So Detective Comics number 845 by Paul Dini and Dustin Nguyen. Wow, this was effing good.
Yes.
Like, even me, the non-Batman fan, was just like, oh, oh. Like, it was really good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
this. This issue.
Oh, right. I was just scanning it to remember what it was about. And I was like, pages and pages of chat room.
Of chat room with like Batman, Detective Chimp, the Riddler. Like,
and some chick from in college.
Exactly.
That, I was wondering if that was Oracle.
No.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too, but we would have seen the wheelchair.
Oh, I don't think she has quite that many piercings.
That'd be hot, though. Oh,
that would be hot.
All right, let's not.
I can't believe all I said was that would be hot, and I did it out of complete, like, I didn't even realize I was saying it. I was like, oh, wait, no, I want to take that back.
You know, it could be her, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I really don't.
No, I don't think it is either.
I don't know. Do you think Batman hangs around chat rooms?
I like it.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It gives him a bit more personality. Yeah.
I like that him and Detective Chimp like knew that they were each other.
And they were wondering if Riddler knew that it was them.
Yeah.
It is great. I mean, I really, after reading this entire run by Paul Dini and not being a Batman fan, but loving the cartoon and all that kind of stuff, like, I like the way this is all laying out. The Riddler thing means something, you know, like, because
it was one and done issues, but there was also an overall arc with the Riddler.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Batman's got a long history of going undercover, matches Malone. So it would make sense that in this new century, he would go undercover on the Neb Web. The Net or the Web.
I would have just liked a little more creative username than John Doe 27 or whatever.
I agree. Yeah. I actually thought the same thing. I was like, he's better than that.
Yeah, exactly.
M. Malone 22.
Yeah,
it was good. I was going to say something and it totally left me. So
I just think it's funny that they go in the chat rooms and they just sort of ruminate on crime.
The best is when the big horn guy comes to Detective Chimp.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, we're going. He's like, no, I'm working. He's like, I'm chatting. He's like, geek.
You know what else I loved?
I like Detective Chimp.
Oh, Detective Chimp's great. Yeah.
You know what else I loved?
You should read Shadow Pact.
Jealous Catwoman.
Yeah, no, Jealous Catwoman was great.
That was a fantastic scene.
And acknowledged the Zatanna and the other chick. Like, we're starting to see it.
Paul Dini was like, he finally got the note from like Grant Morrison. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this. And he's like, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know.
But there was a great line where she's like, it figures, I leave town for a while and the witch moves right in. Like, perfect dialogue from Catwoman.
Really, really good.
I just like that it's a detective story.
Yeah.
I mean, Detective Comics has been, since Paul Dini's been on it, has been about detectives.
This may or may not
be the end, because next issue starts the RIP.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how he handles it. So let the gushing continue.
Amazing Spider-Man 561. Lest anyone think we hate everything.
Oh.
Again, I mean, this is going to sound like a broken record, but this is the final issue of the current story arc with Peter Parker's paparazzi with the art from Marcos Martin.
Please, 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 please keep Martin on the net. Please.
He can't keep a weekly
please,
base.
Please.
It was just so good.
Please.
I mean, this is...
Comic book artist Marcos Martin suffers a hand failure.
All I want for Christmas is Marcos Martin to do Spider-Man.
I know that in the very beginning, the first issue, you said this was your favorite arc after the first issue.
Yes.
And I said I still thought the Zeb Wells arc was the best. This is the best arc.
Yeah.
Now that it's done with and it's all over and we've had the whole complete story,
this was
by far the best.
So Ooh, good.
Incredible Hulk cupcakes.
So good. I mean, it was just like it's and the way they handled so Mary Jane is.
And it's not just the art. The art's fantastic, but the story was great.
Yeah, no, the
Robbie quitting the DB, Peter quitting the DB, great stuff.
So what happened was that's where we last left off. Spider-Man's trying to chase down this paper thin killer who's killing anybody who gets close to the actor that she's obsessed with, and there's this big hunt to find out who this actor's mystery girlfriend is. Turns out it's Mary Jane, and so Peter follows him to the Hamptons, and you've got Peter taking pictures of the zoom lens, but he can't see what he's getting. Like, he didn't see the pictures he's getting.
Yeah.
So he's got evidence that it's Mary Jane, but he doesn't know. The killer comes and attacks. Mary Jane ducks into a panic room, and she's guiding Spider-Man by using all the cameras, but Spider-Man doesn't know who she is because the voice is all modulated. And the dialogue between Mary Jane and Peter was perfect. You had the sense of history between them. You had the sense of almost not, I don't want to say resentment, but regret in Mary Jane's voice. Because
she knew she was talking to Spider-Man, but he didn't know she was talking to Mary Jane. You know what else they did that was kind of interesting was there's a line in here that you could play either way, depending on how you're going to go with the story.
Yep.
She says, he says, it seems like we know each other. Do we know each other? And she says, we did in another life.
Yep.
Now, that's something that you could say to an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend. That's a line that you could say.
Or you could say to your ex-two-year-old wife that
after she remembers.
Yep.
Then you can play it that way. So now he's left the door open where you can play it one way or another.
This is a gorgeous cover.
The cover was brilliant.
This is a really
nice cover. If this, it's only three issues. They wouldn't put it on trade. But if they collect this, you need to read this arc. It's
Get the issues. They're out. I mean, just go grab them. I mean, you can probably grab them, you know, at cover.
Like, I've got $9.
Anyway, it's just fantastic. I thought it was really, really good.
So good. Love it, love it, love it.
And Josh, if you want to grab them. You will go to Jim Haney's universe.
Thank you for telling me. I'm very good. That's a convenient train ride away.
Because this is one of America's best and most progressive comic book stores. Jim Haney's universe offers the best selection of comic titles and related merchandise. From mainstream to manga to minis, Jim Haney's universe has it all. Jim Haney's universe is located opposite the Empire State Building, Midtown Manhattan, and at 325 New Dorp Lane in Staten Island, New York. And you can visit Jim Haney's universe on the web at jhuniverse.com. Visit them at myspace.com/Jim Haney's universe, because Jim Haney's universe is where art and literature meet.
They are my friend.
And I think you have to gel up your hair before you go to the New Dorp Lane one. I'm not positive.
Dig to our Staten Island friends.
It wouldn't be an episode without a dig to
our Staten. You have to make sure that your wife beater shirt is
and chains. And chains flowing freely.
So, okay. So Connor, what time is it?
It's bell time. All right, the return of the bell.
Back by popular demand.
We have a lot of books to talk
about.
Or
just a couple of dudes.
And a couple of dudes sitting around going, we want to use the bell. So here's how it works. You got 15 seconds to talk about the book before this happens. And then you got to move on to the next book.
You started to a game show host. And then you play Plinko.
Or you just keep talking while he rings the bell.
Yes, but since I'm here, I can then cock punch you if you keep talking.
You have to respect the bell.
Respect the bell. All right, so first.
Suck it, bell.
Who's doing what? I don't know who's doing
what. All right, I'm going to go first.
All right, ready? And go.
Manhunter 31, which is the book from Mark Andreyko and Michael Gatos. I never read this before, but I liked Michael Gatos, and I've heard good things about the book, so I bought it. It was really good. Some real-world stuff about murders in Mexico that I looked up, and it's actually happening, and it's really... It was a nice issue, the wrap-up pages.
Justice Society 16. I really liked the big, stupid Gog God, and when they resurrected Black Adam, I was like, ooh, Geoff Johns writing Black Adam. Ooh, and he's angry. That's...
Ultimate Origins number one. This is the big crossover event to start off the Ultimatum thing. Apparently, they're really making the Ultimate Universe different. Logan is the first mutant. Mutant isn't a national thing. Bendis is really, really struggling on this one, I think. I don't really think this is going to be that very good.
What's up? Robin, spoiler special number one, written by Chuck Dixon. Fantastic art from Raphael Albuquerque. If you're new to the characters, you don't know spoiler now, she's back and you read the Robin book, check this out because it gives you the backstory and what she is.
House of Mystery number two, better than House of Mystery number one. I really dug this. It brings you further into the House of Mystery. There was a little story in the middle, but it was mostly about this ongoing plot. The characters are developing nicely, and it's been a very fun read.
Nova number, I don't have it in front of me. The next, the latest issue of Nova.
14?
14, I believe. Fighting the Silver Surfer. Freaking awesome.
Really
best
fucking good.
My turn. Best book Marvel's putting out right now. Science fiction goodness. Silver Surfer. Can't go wrong. Silver Surfer's the Herald of God.
I was agreeing with you. Boys number 19. This was Garth Ennis doing a World War II flashback. Sort of where all the superheroes in this world came from. This book does get better and better as it goes along. It's a damn good time.
Avengers Invaders number two. This, I think, is the very definition of an average comic book. It is exceedingly average. I really like the art. The writing is just very middle of the road.
Are we out of books?
Do you want to talk about Jonah Hex, Ron?
No, I didn't read Jonah Hex.
I think we're out of books then.
Wow, that went a lot quicker than we thought it would.
Oh no, now we have to stretch out the emails. Well, let's really get into this question in depth.
So that was our bell segment. We hope you enjoyed that.
And I'd like to apologize.
But before we move on, we want to, if you weren't aware yet, at ifanboy.com/comics, you can go there and you can pick the comics you buy every week and do your own little pull list. And I don't mean that to demean it. I'm saying you can do it. It's a little pull list.
It's your widow comic.
I know, exactly. But and then after you buy your books, you can rate them and tell us how good they were and review them. Usually we're here giving our opinions. We'd like to hear from you, the... Nice. Way to go, Dick. We'd like to hear from you, the users. So,
speed it up, Sideburns.
We're going to start with our first one's from Leland222, and he wrote about Kick-Ass number 3. And he gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And he says, Now I get it. I won't lie. I hated this book before it ever was on the stand. A book called Kick-Ass annoyed me. The fact that Miller kept telling us how it was real and set in the real world. The YouTube video annoyed me. Simply put, I was annoyed. Now I get it. This isn't the real world. It doesn't feel real, and I'm glad it doesn't. It took three issues, but this title actually does kick-ass now.
This title should have been called Ass Kick.
So Kick-Ass number 3 finally comes out after a bit of a delay, which I thought it was done already. Like, I don't know why this book was delayed.
I sent an email to you guys after I read it, and I just went, Kick-Ass is fucked up. And it was. It was really I don't even know if I like this book, but it's like a roadside accident.
Well, so that's the thing. So Leland 222 gave it a 5 and 5. Like, do you think it gets to story 5, art 5?
No.
I'm so mystified. Well, the art 5, yes.
The art definitely gets a 5.
I'm so mystified by this book, I don't know what to think of it. I don't know what to make of it.
I was like...
So why was it fucked up?
Well, dude, he got his ass kicked again. And if at this point now... Like, once is fun, twice is kind of packing in, three times gets funny, four or five times is hilarious.
Like, so the character, the kid, I forget his name, whatever, the weird last name, he got caught on video, on cell phone video, actually beating somebody up and making it. Like,
became an internet celebrity. Yeah,
he became a celebrity, so he throws up a MySpace page, and he starts just taking, like, asking people who need help, and he'll help them out. And a girl says her ex-boyfriend won't leave her alone, so he goes to find him, and he's just some big...
He's a drug dealer.
Like
an enclave of giant criminals.
But he walks right in there, all full of swagger, and says, "You know, stop bothering your ex-girlfriend, and I'll kick your ass," and gets his ass kicked. And then it took a weird turn because
another child in a costume comes in and starts
with a sword
and starts cutting heads off, and
like
in a very graphic manner.
Very graphic. Very graphic.
A lot of swearing.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, it shocked me.
It was fucked up. And like, I don't know. I can't tell you if it was any good or not. I can't tell you if I liked it. I can't tell if I want to read more.
I have the same feeling about it.
Next one.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
I feel like I'm not going to know until the first arc is done.
And I think even at the end of that, you'd be like,
what's going on here?
I don't even know. It's literally like an accident on the side of the road. I can't.
I know. Yeah. And so why isn't it? I mean, so why? But it's not good though.
There's no story.
Yeah, there's no story so far.
Well, there's a story. Obviously, the story is that the kid has said, you know, I'm powerless. All this shit has happened to me. I'm going to do something about it.
Nothing's happened though.
But then obviously he's inspired another girl to take
if
up arms.
He's going to keep getting his ass kicked over the time. There's no story. It's just a repetitive motion.
No, I think
there's
there is
no plot.
I think
it hurts
there is.
Every time I do this.
I know. I think
that.
There is.
There's no plot, but I think the plot now is starting. I think it's starting with 3.
No, I mean, I'm picking up. I'm picking. Clearly, it's a very clear.
How long is this supposed to go for?
I think I have no idea. I was gonna make a joke and I didn't have one.
That's good.
Too long.
I was gonna say 75 issues. No, it's already been optioned for a movie. But the thing is, I think the story arc is clear. It's the idea of empowering yourself and
a theme that hasn't popped up in the plot because there is no plot. That's the theme though.
Well, the plot is the kid keeps picking himself up and you see he's way more confident now. Although I did like the little twist about the girl started talking to him and he's like, oh, you know, it's because of my confidence, and then it turns out because everybody thinks that he was turning tricks and that's why he got beat up because they found him naked. And so she felt bad for him.
Well, she thinks he's
Mark Miller's not okay.
She thinks he's gay. He's a safe gay friend. Anyway, I don't know what to make of this book either. I have no idea.
I like it. I'm there. I'm in it.
Wade Wilson.
It was definitely a twist that I didn't see coming.
No.
She's like a 9-year-old girl with a katana sword cutting heads off.
Awesome.
She called someone a cunt.
Yeah, she did. She did.
I didn't make that up, right? No. I was like, I'm going to say this and feel uncomfortable saying it, but it didn't happen.
No,
it
happened.
I really hope so.
Josh, do the next one.
That book was
fucked up.
This is the most we've ever sworn.
I know, we're sorry.
But the book was fucked up.
What are you going to do? There's no other explanation for it.
I don't have a better word for it. It wasn't messed up.
Oh,
the 9-year-old girl chopping heads off and saying cunt is fucked up.
Criminal number 2, number 3.
Criminal 2, number 3.
Criminal volume 2, number 3, I believe it is. Wade Wilson gives it a story of 5 rating and a 4, the art a 4 rating. He says, the writing was as solid as it always is in this title. The dialogue felt natural and real. My only small beef was that it didn't tie into the last 2 issues as much as I'd hoped. We didn't get the robbery from her point of view like I expected, but more of a very sad origin story. But as a standalone issue, it was brutal, gut-wrenching, and flat-out awesome.
Okay. Awesome. I think it's interesting that he criticized the story and not the art, but he gave the story a 5 and the art a 4.
Well, the thing with the art is that...
It's an excellent point.
The thing about the art...
that's fucked up.
Is that... Brubaker says in the end, of the, in his little writing at the end, that Phillips had a kidney stone. He was going to just not draw, but he didn't want to fall too well. So he drew this through the pain of the kidney stone.
Oh, my God.
By the way, that's fucked up.
So... If we still titled shows, we would name it.
I know, I know. Clearly.
So that's why the art may not be as sharp, as although I didn't really notice that big of a drop-off. I found this issue to be wholly depressing.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was depressing. Good, yeah.
I thought it was actually, because I talked to Connor beforehand, and he said it wasn't as good as the last ones, and I was, like, not expecting much. Mm. And I read to him, and I was like, oh, that was, I mean, it was wholly depressing, but...
It didn't propel the story forward. I mean, it was a character origin issue. I mean, that's what it was.
It was very pulpy. Yeah,
very pulpy.
But it was, like...
Tragic.
Straight. It was, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I enjoyed it, but I.
You could say you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was more of the same. I like these sidetracks on a character who may not matter so much. I like that we got to see what happened when we thought that her story was over.
Yeah.
From previous issues. So.
Well, next issue starts the actual arc, the story arc. So. That's it'll move forward. I mean, I didn't. It was very good. I just felt like it didn't feel good after I read it. I felt
bad.
I know,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
it was like I don't want to delve in that world anymore. So
it was good though. Just don't forget to go to ifanboy.com/comics and do your own pull list, do your own reviews, and we also highlight them on the site too. So you might get picked.
Yes. It is the beginning of June, so at the beginning of every month, we now do the book of the month. It's here. It's going to stay. So you get used to it.
Yes.
It was my choice this month. And much to the chagrin of many people, it wasn't the Starman Omnibus. Maybe we'll get to that later. You know, maybe, but we didn't trust DC's release.
You threw a curveball at the people.
I did.
You
throw
really
a curveball.
Did. I mean, we set a precedent of doing books that come out.
Uh huh.
And then you went back.
You know what I say to the rules?
What?
Fucked up.
Please focus all the emails to Josh this time. I know I'm normally the one with the potty mouth,
and
but
put fuck in the subject line.
Oh.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Oh God.
That's what Bendis writes on everything he's ever signed.
All right.
He's very popular.
Your book of the month.
Book of the month was the complete Alan Moore's Complete Wildcats, right. I believe is the title. I've gotten it mixed up a couple of times.
Shocker, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know how, I started my review this way, but do you know how there are books that you have always meant to read?
Yes.
I have a big list of, I have a big, big list because.
You haven't read much.
Well, I've read lots of stuff, but I get emails every day. It's like people are like, you haven't seen that movie? I'm like, I've seen thousands of movies. I can't see them all. But this is, you know, it's Alan Moore. I like Alan Moore a lot. And this is one of those things that I meant to read. And I picked it up at a half-off bin at the New York Comic Con. And I really, really dug it. I moved like right through it. And it occurred to me that this was like the best of the 90s. You know, like, it took all of the things that were really good about that in the 90s image boom and you know, distilled them into something that was really quite quality. And it reminded me that I know a lot more about Image Comics, but Wildstorm than I thought I did. You know, like, I'd read Joe Casey's Wildcats, Volume 2 and 3, and I'd read Sleeper and The Authority and Stormwatch and a lot of that stuff, and I was like, oh, I'm familiar with these characters.
I mean, there was a time where the Wildstorm universe was pretty bitchin'. I mean, and it was a time when not a lot of people were reading comics. It was that late 90s. And I mean, I was so happy that you picked this up, and I couldn't believe that you made it as Picker Week because
I didn't
pick the book of the month. I mean, wow. Because this is probably one of my favorite periods of Wildcats, mainly because it was the beautiful Travis Charest art. But what was funny is that when you got the trade and I flipped through it, yeah. I remember him doing every issue, and it's more like every other one.
He did 7 out of the 15.
Yeah, which is way less than I thought he did. But I remember when these came out, getting them an issue, and just like salivating all over them, and just like loving every one.
Well, it's funny because Travis Charest is a name that I've heard, and I didn't actually have a lot of experience with him. And I'd seen his stuff that he'd worked on the first few issues of Volume 2, which were written by Scott Lobdell, and wholly awful.
Yeah.
Before Joe Casey took over. Entirely at issue 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Yep.
And I remember liking that art a lot. Now, that was many years ago. My tastes have changed a little bit. I was kind of surprised in this that I didn't love his art. He seemed very... I was like, oh, he's a lot like Jim Lee at this point. Like, he was very much in that vein.
Oh, yeah, it was.
He was totally
rebuffed. As it goes forward, you see it separate. He's got a different style. A different thing happens.
Yeah.
I didn't love his art, and the art for me was not a strong point in this book. It wasn't necessarily bad. There's an issue by Kevin Maguire in there.
Yeah, there is.
There's a whole lot of other artists. I mean, there's it's so there's no consistency.
What was it about this specifically that made you pick it? Like, I mean, what was it that made you sit down and go, wow, this is really good?
Well, it was a lot of fun, for one thing. You know, when you think of Alan Moore, you think of sort of dark, dense stories that and it he was I mean, this isn't the best thing he's ever done. Right. But he sort of just went with it and had fun. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's big and crazy and fun. And I like that there's a lot going on. There are just a shitload of characters and a lot of plot.
Yeah, no, I mean,
basically two books going on.
Two planets. That's, I mean,
two Wildcats teams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they all come together. I'm not entirely sure what happened in the end because it was part of a big Wildstorm crossover.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, it was just crazy. Like, and yeah. I actually. Because I loved Sleeper. Sleeper's one of my favorite series ever, really.
Yep.
And Tao was the villain from that.
This is where he came from. Yeah. This is his origin. Yeah.
And like, he's great in this.
Yeah.
Like, I love, you know, I love.
And Ladytron.
I love the. Oh, we'll get to her.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a super, super smart character. And you hear about them all the time, but they're very rarely portrayed as smart as they are. That everybody just sort of gives them a bunch of benefit of the doubt. No. And in this, Alan Moore really made him. Like, incredibly cunning and smart, and the moves that he makes in the very beginning of the, you know, they come out later, and
yep.
Just a really just a really smartly written smart character, you know, because they're supposed to be like, you know, who's a really smart character, like a villain,
Lex Luthor,
yeah, like somebody like that, and they just sort of like they let you think he's smart,
you take it for granted,
and
yeah,
at the end, he's just like, and here's why I did it, and you're right. Like, oh, but this was really illustrated.
You saw him moving the chess pieces, and things didn't make sense at first, and then you saw them pay off, and yeah.
And it's one of those books that you right at the beginning you're thrown right in.
Yeah.
And well, I was like, I don't remember anything.
The premise is that for those who weren't reading in the 90s, the Wildcats were focused on the idea that the Daemonites and the Cherubim were two alien races that we've been warring, and they ended up on Earth, and
like Lord, this was like a satellite, not satellite, but the war spread all over the place, and this was
this was a battle. Yeah. Yeah. And Lord Emp, the short guy, brought together the Wildcats to fight the Daemonite threat. Lord Cherubim, Lord Emp is a Cherubim, and the Daemonites are these big kind of like, I don't know what they look
demon
like. Daemonite. And so what happens is that this starts off with them leaving Earth and going back to Kara, back to the planet, and in their absence, Zealot's sister, Savant, forms another Wildcats team to deal with what's going on.
And they're the bumbling team of misfits.
And you have Grifter's brother, if I remember correctly.
Max Cash.
Yeah. You have Savant, and then you've got Tao, who is this, you don't know where he stands kind of thing.
And Majestic.
Yeah, Mr. Majestic, who is a Cherubim Lord who stayed on Earth for whatever reason. Right. I don't remember the reason why. And then you have Ladytron.
Ladytron, by the way, Maxine Manchester is a psychopathic 18-year-old cyborg girl who's like a killer.
Yeah,
and they sort of rehabilitate her and bring it. And I remember she had shown up in the Wildcats that I'd read, and I was so annoyed by her. I hated her so much.
Does it make sense now?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I actually really learned to like her in this.
Yeah, totally.
Like, at first she's really irritating, but like over the course of it, like she thinks she's starting to date one of the guys on the team. He's like, I never said that. She shows up for a date.
And she's kind of punky. She's got a mohawk and she has some piercings, but she has like a metal jaw, a bottom jaw. So it's like, and a metal like rib cage. And so you know she's cyborgy.
And at one point she's fighting a giant robot. But they start to like have a conversation and make a date. But the whole time they're still fighting. Like, Alan Moore was just not taking himself seriously. Now back on Kara, there are political issues and things that they put in and they take. You know, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And
on Kara, what happens is that Voodoo, who is a half Daemonite, she gets shuttled. She's part of a different part
of the
cast.
Nobody's gonna be able to follow you explaining all this.
But I mean, no, I thought it was really interesting. Is that it layered in a lot? So you had classism going on, and then you had the political angle of it. I mean, it was really, really interesting.
There's a lot of good things that could be done with a Wildstorm.
I can't believe how much I remember from that.
Yeah, no, I'm actually pretty impressed
because I didn't read this trade yet. I just read the issues 15 years ago. Yeah,
and a lot of the stuff that I had read later. Came from this, and that was really fun for me.
I didn't think you were going to like it at all. I'm glad you did.
I think having read the stuff that came later that helped a lot. I mean, the one thing is that can be said.
You want to like the Wildcats. There's something about Wildcats that you like, and I don't know what it is because you keep going back to it.
Yeah, no, there's things I like. What it turned Jim into. Lee. No, I don't like Jim Lee. The characters are ridiculous. Like the names and the costumes are.
I love
Warblade
them.
Is the stupidest looking thing of all time.
It's like 90s
and
porn.
And it's really funny. It is.
Yeah.
And it's really like when he's on Kara, he like happens to meet this guy who goes and teaches him a bunch of battle forms. And so, like, he turns himself into the Tree of Death. Yeah. And, like, he does just all this ridiculous stuff. And he has no purpose in the story other than to just make these dumb jokes. Look at this other battle form I learned. Yeah. And he turns himself into this big shape. Yeah. And he's got a big ponytail. Like, it's just weirdest thing.
if you're curious about Wildcats and you want
to... If that made any sense to you, God bless you.
You might be interested in picking it up. And you can pick it up from InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades has a ton of great trade paperbacks for you to pick it up. And they've actually going to be discounting Wildcats, the complete Alan Moore Wildcats, 47% off. It's going to be $15.89. So if you head over to InStockTrades.com.
That's a really good deal.
Yeah, it's a really, really good deal.
That's 15 issues. Literally the trade itself is really nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice, thick paper. It's well, well produced. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Although you got a bum copy, though, didn't you?
I did get a bum copy.
It was razored.
Yeah, mine got, it's still read fine.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, you don't get a bum copy at InStockTrades.com, that's for sure.
No.
So InStockTrades.com, they got great deals on shipping, and they got over 5,400 trade paperbacks that you could order. So InStockTrades.com, check it out. On to the email.
I don't know if that cleared anything up for anyone on that book. Alan Moore is very good, is my point.
Yeah, he is. All right, so our first email comes from Matt, who says he's been collecting for years and years, which I suppose makes me a collector. But once eBay and places like that came along, I would sell things that I didn't feel were necessary to keep. Now, I still have thousands of books, but I also have enormous credit card debt, which could probably be alleviated if I sold off most of my collection. I guess my question is twofold. Is any of it really necessary anyway? Am I ridiculous to hold on to something as frivolous as comics in the face of huge interest rates? Thanks. I know this question is a little subjective, but maybe you can lend some insight.
Okay, first of all, this one hurts. Let me play Susie Orman.
Oh, no.
Susie Orman?
Susie.
Susie?
It's just spelled like that because she's a pretentious... pay off your credit card. Listen, 23-year-old Josh tried to fuck 30-year-old Josh. Pay off your credit card. However you got to do it.
But yeah,
You'll feel really good.
But the thing is, I mean, credit card debt is tough, and this is probably a whole different conversation, but like... Selling stuff to do, like, I don't know, that seems like a big sacrifice.
He clearly doesn't have a problem. He's done it before. He's already sold his books before.
If you could make enough, I was going to say,
but at the same time, good luck selling comic books to make any money off of.
I have over 32 long boxes, and I would imagine I'd be lucky to get half the value.
You're better off to try to commit insurance fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, put them on your renter's insurance or whatever, and then, like, put them under a leaky roof. Because
we are not disclaimer, advocating this
a fanboy does not advocate no, like, any sort of fraud.
Josh Flanagan is the responsible for this.
The opinions and comments are represented by the individual seekers and not by fanboy.com, a property of Great Northern Media LLC.
It's fucked up, is it not?
Yes.
Wait, though. I'm gonna go on the other side of this.
Okay.
A week or two ago, I went to my stacks of comics. And I was going through them
because
I wanted to pull out some stuff because if you haven't noticed, we run a website and we do a show every damn day. So I was like, I need some stuff so that I will have something to talk about. I had so much fun going through them and pulling out back issues. I can't even tell you.
Oh, absolutely.
I have right now in my office, I have a shopping bag because I keep my comics at my mother-in-law's because she has more space than us. And I have a shopping bag full of comics and just like runs that I took out, and I had so much fun doing it. And I mean, if you watch that show we did where we did Infinity Gauntlet, like that was because I had kept it and I remember to pick it out and go through it.
That's the thing, is that you're going to be thankful to have it.
However,
yep.
There are a shitload of comics in there that you will never read again because they're not any good.
Yep.
But they're not worth anything.
But
so.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think you really would get anything for them? I don't think so.
No, but you don't necessarily need to keep them.
Right, true.
But you may be able to trade them in your comic shop for credit, and then you don't have to buy new comic books, and then you can use that money to pay off your debt.
I'd say get that debt down to however you can.
Yeah,
that's important.
Without committing fraud.
Pimp yourself.
Mark W. says...
Try the fraud.
No. No.
Mark W. says, first I want to say that... okay, we can skip that part.
No, you can say that.
First, I want to say it was great meeting you guys back at WonderCon in February. Okay.
We meet people at conventions.
It was fun.
That's fun. I remember you, Mark. You're awesome.
I would like to pose a question/theory. Professor Xavier is a bigot.
No, he's a jerk.
Before you laugh it off and dismiss it, hear me out. He has always referred to mutants being us and everyone else being them. Who appointed him a mutant cop supervisor? How is the agenda that different from Magneto? Magneto wants war, but he wants to lead the mutants. Professor Xavier doesn't want war, but he also wants to lead all mutants. During the first Secret War, he made sure to segregate the X-Men from the rest of the heroes on the planet. He also tampered with Spider-Man's mind. Ponder this. What if, say, Wonder Man ran into the Beast and they had an adventure? Since they're both Avengers as well as great friends, they overcome the threat. But suppose Beast invited Wonder Man to join the X-Men. Do you think Professor Xavier would allow it? Or would he say to Wonder Man that since theirs is strictly a mutant agenda, that it would be best if he remained with the Avengers? This self-imposed segregation by Professor Xavier and the X-Men is something that needs to be considered. Who cares if a hero is a mutant or not? If they're willing to join the team, why not let them?
Okay, so Mike, Ron.
Yes.
Has there ever been a non-mutant X-Men?
Yes.
Suck it, Mark. Yep. It was nice meeting you too, but...
Yes.
All right, so who is the non-mutant X-Men?
Longshot.
Really?
Yep.
Was he an alien?
He's from the Mojoverse.
Wasn't Warlock?
Warlock was a new mutant, yeah.
He was an alien?
Yeah, he was an alien. I can see that. I can see that. There have been honor, like Stevie Jones, the cop.
Professor Xavier is into segregation, though.
Well, no, Professor Xavier, here's the deal with Professor Xavier. First off, we all know he is a jerk.
He's a jerk.
I never got the vibe that he wants to lead mutants. Professor Xavier's dream has been a world where mutants and humans can coexist peacefully. And if you read the intro paragraph to what, you know, Uncanny X-Men for years now is, you know, existing in a world that hates them, all right? So you're going to say Professor Xavier is a bigot. So in the Marvel Universe, so is the majority of the rest of the population.
Yeah, but
bigot
two wrongs will make a right, though.
True, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that they're trying to get by in a world that hates them.
So is he like so Malcolm hard. X?
No. They say that he's like Dr. King. And
Magneto's always been the Malcolm X.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's the corollary, I think.
Early Malcolm X as opposed to later post-Mecha Malcolm X.
Yes. Post-Mecha Malcolm X. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I had to remember the movie.
I read the book.
Wow, hardcore. Book. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I never really felt Professor Xavier as a mutant cop slash supervisor. But if you have been reading the X-Men books till now, what he's done has kind of, you know, he's been shunned by the X-Men. They've rejected him for what his things to do.
Because he's a bigot.
The whole thing in Secret Wars.
But didn't he try to hit on Jean?
You can't really take Secret Wars too seriously. What he did. I read Secret Wars. I was like, really? He's like, no, we must stay away from them. They're just regular people, and it was just like very weird. But I chalked that up to the 80s.
So could Wonder Man join the X-Men?
In the right circumstances, yeah.
Wonder Man was in West Coast Avengers #1, and he has belt jets. They're ridiculous.
So, I don't know. I mean, yes, I think you could spin it that Professor X is a bigot, but I don't think he is a bigot in the same way that, you know, anti-mutant people are bigots and, you know, racist people are racist and all that kind of deal. He has good intentions.
So. He does. His goal is for everybody to get along.
Peaceful coexistence. Yeah, so... I mean, but he's very upfront saying there's a difference between.
Would you
us.
Say that he has a dream?
But yeah, no, Professor Xavier's dream. Yeah. So
does it involve mountains?
If you disagree with me,
X Boulevard the worst street in any given neighborhood?
If you disagree with me, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. That was awful.
It's not my joke.
Email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Tell us how awful Josh is.
You want to brush up on your Malcolm X history? You can get the excellent Spike Lee biopic. Malcolm X from Netflix. They got over 90,000 titles, no late fees, free shipping both ways, Blu-ray titles if you like the HD, fast delivery, and they got plans starting from $4.99. Go get your free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. We all recommend it heartily.
No voicemails this week in lieu of the book of the month, so next week we'll get back to your voicemails.
So that's it.
That's it.
Wrap this baby up. As you may know, we have a video show every Saturday. It's a full-length 20 to 30-minute video show about comic books called iFanboy. And you can find that at revision3.com/iFanboy or at iFanboy.com. And this past week, you saw us spend 30 or so minutes with Stan Lee.
40. 40,
40 so minutes
seconds.
With Stan Lee.
Awkward minutes with Stan Lee. No, they weren't. Stan's great.
Kicked me out.
He did. It was pretty much, I've been saying, it's pretty much comic geek make-a-wish. We have to be with Stan Lee.
The most interesting and amazing days we've had in a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Very surreal.
Not so bad for three guys who started talking over Skype.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, and next week...
not to kiss our own asses. No, but it was awesome. And we hope... And, you know, like, I want to thank everybody for sending in your questions. That made it for us.
Come here and pat my back, Josh.
We couldn't have done it without you.
Next week, we're talking Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
I think.
From the old to the new. That's how we do it. We also do iFanboy Minis, the little short video show, every single weekday. Watch them. We love to do them.
Yes, we do.
So keep watching them and tell other people to watch them.
And what we also love to do is ifanboy.com, where you can check out Connor's full Pick of the Week review of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, as well as all of your comic reviews, and as well as we've got a whole host of new writers on board. We welcome Paul Montgomery and Jimsky and Mike Romo to the fold, and they've definitely brought up raised the bar in the writing.
I'm a little afraid to write anything now.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty rough. So it's been a great play. This week has been awesome.
I would like to talk about X-Men by Josh Flanagan. X-Men are mutants.
I like comics. In this book. We're writing book reports.
X-Men is very, 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 yeah, very,
it's gotta be 100 words.
Very, very, very good.
Many of the characters in the X-Men are interesting. Beast is a big blue man.
He wears an X on his belt because he's an X-Man. So go to ifanboy.com. The discourse has improved.
Something else you can find at ifanboy.com. It's ifanboy.com/store. There you will see links to all the books we talk about in the video show, as well as our picks for other medium. And you can also go, if you're going to use Amazon to purchase things, you can go through that store to buy them, and it'll help us out without
click
you
on
costing
the
you
powered by Amazon
without
button.
Costing you a little anything really.
Little dosh, little cash, bit of cheddar. See, I mixed there. The next thing would be t-shirts. Oh, that's right, we have t-shirts. You go to jinx.com/ifanboy, send in a picture of yourself wearing that, and send it to jinx.com, and they'll send you free stickers, and send it to us, and we'll post it somewhere and then talk about it, and we'll be happy.
Well, thank you.
And as we mentioned earlier, you can get in touch with us by emailing us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
Social networks, you know you like them. You're on the internet. We like them. You like them. Go to ifanboy.com/about. There you find links to all of our social networks for both the show and our individual ones, and be our friend.
You like the show. You think it's pretty good. And you've been saying, no, I'm going to go to iTunes and write that review at some point. Well, you haven't yet. Now, some of you have.
237 of you.
A good amount of you have. And for those people, you're okay by us.
The rest of you suckers.
The rest of you, seriously, what are you doing? You're poking around on Yahoo Sports. You're what are you doing? Playing fantasy football? Just go there. You like the shit. Come on.
and also...
I'm talking to you.
If you do like the show, please let everyone know. Tell folks at your comic store. Tell your friends. And also, if you like the show and you like what we do, you can head over to ifanboy.com/donations and you could use PayPal to donate to us. Takes a lot of cash to keep this operation moving, and we appreciate your help.
So. Half of it's going right up Ron's nose.
And that's the bell, so we're going to call it a day before it gets too hotter in here.
Too hotter?
Too hotter.
That's fucked up.
It's hot. Oh, what the fucked up?
This show just fizzled out. It just ended. It disappeared. Stop ringing the bell. Stop.
I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh. It's business time. It's business time. Business hours are over. Cut me out of that show completely.
We're way under.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes under. It's 57.
Yeah, but that's way under for us.
Yeah. Well.
Hello.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Get ourselves some treats.
Let's all go to the lobby.
I forgot to mention Clark's bar. That was my favorite part of that book. There's a bar that all the superheroes hang out. It's Clark's. And the bartender.
Did you turn it on?
It's Shia Night.
It's Shia Night on Cinemax. Why was Bernie Mac in this movie?
Why is Bernie Mac in any movie?
It's funny.
Why are we still recording?